The Joe O Show.
It's your world, Joe.
It's your world, Joe.
It's your world, Joe.
You're listening to the Joe Ostrowski Show. Nights on 670 The Score.
Three in a row. Here for you at 6 o'clock, three consecutive days. What is it, the All-Star break, setting some sort of a record. Once again with you until 8:35, leading into Cubs-Padres. Right here on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Hope your hump day was all right. Thanks for hanging out on the drive home. Bunch going on this evening. We continue to take a look at Bears-Broncos. Benjamin Albright from KOA out in Denver will be joining me in 1 hour at 7 o'clock. We have some Mitch Trubisky news. I got to tell you, usually his press conferences, whether we're talking about after the game or his Wednesday when he speaks to the media, usually a complete snooze fest. I'm not interested in much of what he has to say because he doesn't say much. And about 2 minutes in, there was something. There was something noteworthy, I think. Maybe we can talk about that. Was it even a thing? Because after that, the next 10 minutes, I went back to falling asleep like I do at every other Mitch Trubisky press conference. The man that's very uncomfortable behind the microphone for some reason, even though he's doing this now 3 years into his NFL career. So we will get into all of that and movement in the Cubs front office. You have this job opening up with the Red Sox. They get rid of Dombrowski. They don't have a general manager. The guy's already there. They're sharing the duties of the GM. So they're starting to look around. McLeod's been there before. And then McLeod changes roles with the Cubs today. But I don't know if it was a promotion. What are they preparing for? Was it a demotion? Should he be demoted? Should he still be there? We'll get into all of that coming up. Phone lines open, 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. If you want to reach out as we hang out this evening, text line open, 67011. I'm on Twitter, at JoeO670. Producing tonight, Herb Lawrence, the executive producer, associate producer running the board, is Mike Chen, Scrobstein's favorite producer at The Score. He buys him gifts, doesn't give anything to anybody else, but he goes out of his way. Make sure that Mike Chen gets a jersey. Was it a jersey or a jersey?
It was a jersey, and I wouldn't necessarily make sure that he goes out and buys me stuff, Joe. I'm pretty sure
It's his version of buying. Has he ever purchased anything? That's the question.
He will
sell things, but has he purchased anything? We'll dive into that over the next 2.5 hours. All right, I want to rewind to Friday a little bit. So you were just listening to McNeil and Parkins, and they landed a weekly interview with Bear safety Eddie Jackson. And based on his appearances past Friday, those are going to be fun. Those are going to be lively. Went out of his way to criticize Bears fans. I believe 6 or 7 times he said it's unacceptable to boo at Soldier Field. Do not boo us. Okay, headlines everywhere on Friday afternoon. Then it kind of goes under the radar because you go into the weekend and people forget about it by the time they're back here on Monday. So it wasn't a huge story because it happened so late in the day on Friday. There's something else that happened in that interview that grabbed my attention. And I was thinking about it today. And it has to do with Mitch Trubisky. Yes, do we have Danny's question or is it just Eddie Jackson's answer? Okay, we have Danny's question. This is about 10-12 minutes into the interview after Eddie Jackson went out of his way to criticize Bears fans for booing them on Thursday night when the offense put up 3 points. Take a listen to this exchange.
You got to understand, he's a quarterback. He's a young quarterback. It's his third year, second year in a new offense. He needs as much confidence as he can get. You know, it's a lot of talk going on about him on the internet and things like that. And as a player, man, you're a human being. You know, they can say, oh, you don't pay attention to this, you don't pay attention to that. But at the same time, you're human. You know, you're a football player, you know, but you're a human being first. So you see things like that. And then when you come out there in your home stadium, where you supposed to be the man, the guy, and they're booing you, like, come on, man. That's unacceptable, man.
And then they continued the conversation. Take a listen.
We get it. We understand everyone wants to see him perform or offense do better or whatever the case may be. But I just feel like the booing part is just, it's unacceptable, you know. And I just feel like if you're gonna ride, if not, don't. You know, if you're gonna call yourself a fan, you're a fan. But the booing thing is just, we don't like it as players on the sideline. Like, we get it. Okay, we get it. It's a Green Bay game. We get it. Okay, they're not playing as good as we know they can play. We get it. But it's just the same time, we play good, you cheer. One little thing goes wrong, you boo. Like, you got to be on this side or you're going to be on that side. You get what I'm saying? It's not just we get it. We really understand. Like, it's nothing that no one in this franchise or in it, like the fans, get that we don't feel. You know, we feel it. Like, we wanted this game as bad as, like, you just don't know. We really wanted this game as bad, like, bad. We really wanted this one bad.
So that, of course, after hearing that, if you missed that on Friday or over the weekend, that grabs your headlines. Look at what Eddie Jackson said about Bears fans. But then at one point, Danny Parkins followed up about the booing, and he straight up asked Eddie Jackson, do you think it affects Mitch's confidence? And without blinking, Jackson says, of course it affects his confidence. And this is something we've heard over the summer throughout training camp. It was about Mitch's confidence. This is year three, right? Reins are supposed to be off. No excuses. Second year in the offense. Next steps are coming. Surround him with more playmakers. Montgomery and Patterson. And I think we have a three-down back, but I don't know. That's what we heard all offseason, but he wasn't out there enough talking about Montgomery. I'm sure he'll be out there more moving forward. So they've talked about his confidence. And Patrick Finley of the Sun-Times was asking Mitch today about the RPO that was run on third and one and some of the decision-making and what he sees on the field. Here's Trubisky at the podium today.
You talked about the third and one RPO the other day. Or Matt talked about it. Can you walk us through just kind of everything you're evaluating and you're deciding whether to give it or keep it for a throw?
No, I was told not to talk about the last game. There's a lot of decisions on each play, and there's like three or four different plays built in one. Sometimes it's the right decision, sometimes it's wrong. Sometimes I make the wrong decision, but I make it right with the way I execute it. But we're moving on to this week, and we just got to be almost automatic in third and one. We got to just make sure we get those.
Was it Adam or somebody else?
I was Adam amongst the other people that we're moving on.
Okay, Adam is one of the Bears' PR guys. I believe he's the second man in charge over at Hallis Hall and the media side. So he said Adam told him, among others, not to talk about the Bears-Packers game. So what happens after the game? Quarterback's at the podium. Yeah, you get to talk to him about the game right then and there. A lot of times, if you're interested in what the head coach or players are saying, what's the default response? We have to look at the tape. I can't answer that. I got to look at the tape tomorrow. We'll see tomorrow. Got to look at the tape. Got to look at the tape. And this is the one opportunity after the game, after they've reviewed the tape, to talk to the players. But the Bears organization is telling Mitch Trubisky not to talk about the Packers game from last week. Why? Why are they still coddling this guy? It's supposed to be, he's the leader, he's our franchise quarterback, it's year three, no excuses. Internally at Hallis Hall, you have to wonder, are they worried about his confidence? He's been doing these press conferences for 3 years. He clearly is not comfortable at all doing them. I mean, he usually doesn't say much, right? He doesn't. But most quarterbacks don't. They're not going to give anything away. And they're coached up. Listen, don't give specific game plans or what we're seeing on tape, what we'd like to target. Understood. Ever seen a Tom Brady interview? It's breaking news if he says anything that's relevant. But I'm wondering about leadership. And if you're not in that locker room, it's hard to figure it out. Is he elite? I mean, how many times do we talk about that with Cutler? And at that position, it's important. You better believe they had a lot of conversations about Trubisky's leadership before they drafted him at number two overall out of North Carolina. Guarantee that. It is huge. Watch these winning quarterbacks on Sundays. Think leadership isn't a big deal? What have we heard over the past week about how things are handled in New England? It isn't just Bill Belichick that cuts people. It's Tom Brady. Who's the second man in charge? Probably Tom Brady to Bill Belichick. That's what everybody wants. That means you have a winner, you have a leader, and he's trusted. And it's year three. And he's looking to the side. Well, they told me I can't talk about it, so I can't talk about it. Really? You spent the entire offseason saying you can't wait to play games for real. Let's get to week one. Get me to September 5th already. That's all we care about. Starting out 1-0, Soldier Field rocking. Months and months and months of that. And then one time you get to talk to him after reviewing the tape. Well, we're not talking about it. Now, we hear it every week. I get it's probably a mantra over there. They're saying, we're moving on. We're not talking about that game anymore or everything that went wrong. That's the worst of it. But after seeing that today from a guy that they've labeled as their franchise quarterback, people are betting him to win the MVP this year. Does it enter your mind about a lack of leadership from Mitch Trubisky? You have Eddie Jackson on the station on Friday. Without blinking, says, yep. That has to affect his confidence, the booing at Soldier Field. He's up at the microphone, well, I can't talk about it. Really? We've been talking about it for how long, and now you don't want to talk about it? Some of the decisions that went down? We're not even asking you to talk about the upcoming opponent in that instance. Patrick Finley was just asking him about those controversial 3rd-and-1 calls. Very relevant to what's going on with an 0-1 team. Does that worry you, or is it nothing? I get where you're coming from if you think it's a nothing. If you think it's just a guy that wants to get through those 10 minutes and get the hell out of here. And what these players need to realize, and some do, which is why they do regular radio and or TV appearances, is this is their way to talk to Bears fans. That's what Eddie Jackson did on Friday. He was ticked off about the booing. It was brought up in conversation. He said, I'm glad you brought that up. Let me tell you 6-7 times, it's unacceptable. There are other players, Kyle Long, Keem Hicks, do the same thing. They use it to talk to the fans. And that's what Trubisky should be using those 10-15 minutes every single week. But, I mean, this is the quarterback. And he's looking over, well, they said I'm not allowed to talk about it. Why are they coddling him still? So is that what's happening in those meetings? I mean, come on. Think about some of the other successful quarterbacks in the league. Is that happening? It's a big hell no, and we know that. And I'm even talking about some of the younger guys. But maybe you think it's a nothing. Maybe you do.
Another thing I'm tripping off of is, like, every person that is, you know, Bear-centric is making excuses for him. Year three.
Like, they've got to stop, man.
Oh, year one, John Fox. Oh, this is only his second year
in
the offense. Oh, this is that. Oh, this is this. Can we just have, man, Mitch balled out because he's a good ball player. Just 1 week. Not for Tampa. Man, Mitch is a baller.
I want to see it on the road, Herb. And we've got a chance this week on the road against a defense that was lit up by Carr. Nobody in the world was picking the Raiders to win that game. And you have Vic Fangio there, and you have some elite talent with some guys like Chris Harris, like Von Miller, Bradley Chubb, 12 sacks last year. In those elements, what is he going to do? That's what I want to see. Everything the Bears are saying, the excuses are gone. So why are they coddling him still? Why are some fans allowing it? If he's going to succeed at this level and be your franchise quarterback for the next decade, they've got to let go, man. I just don't want to take too much out of a moment at a press conference. But you don't get much access as a Bears fan to Mitch Trubisky. That's pretty much it. It's 10-15 minutes on Wednesday. It's 10-15 minutes after the game. You see or hear him the rest of the week? No. If you see him, it's videotape that the team allows. All these crazy rules that they have. You want to jump in, 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. Year three, are the Bears still coddling Mitch Trubisky? It was the one moment that I was able to stay awake in that press conference today. It's a weekly thing. Happens on Wednesdays, and I usually take a nap during it, but I was like, okay. I can't believe he... The other part is, I mean, can you be a little savvy? Okay, they told you, let's not focus on all the mistakes last Thursday. Probably not the worst thing in the world. But why can't he just move the conversation forward? We see it from athletes every single week at press conferences. Bill Belichick does it constantly. We're focused on Miami. We're focused on the next game. That's all he had to say. Well, it's like a kid that gets in trouble. He told me to say it. What? Come on, man. Be a professional. Jeez. Mark in Michigan City, Indiana. You're on 670 The Score, Joe Ostrowski.
Hey, Joe. How you doing? Pleasure to get to talk with you. I think it's a coddling and it's a cop-out. And I think the booze, and I disagree with Mr. Jackson, the booze just went on Mitch. It was on the game planning. Nagy, the whole
of course
plan was terrible. Mm-hmm. And Nagy's keeping chains on him. And when they go to Denver, even though there's Chubb, Miller, and Harrison, they got to let them air it out. And they got to go for it. They got to come with guns a-blazing and pick their moments and let them throw about two passes each half about 50 yards downfield. They don't work. He throws it away, throws interceptions, whatever. I mean, you got to go for it. You got to take the chains off this guy. And Nagy seemed to have a problem with that, as he had a problem with Alex Smith in the playoff game against Tennessee. He
I
had
remember.
Chains on him. They had a 15-point lead at Arrowhead Stadium going into half, and they put chains on Alex Smith. Alex Smith would
well,
have probably...
Well, Mark Kelsey also got injured. You got to bring that up.
Yeah, okay, very good.
All right, thank you for the phone call, Mark, and that is a fair point that Nagy's play calling has struggled in the biggest games of his life, and he's going back to that Chiefs playoff game. They blew a big halftime lead against Tennessee, and you have to go to Bears-Eagles. And I still see it. Well, if he makes the kick, how about score more than one offensive touchdown? How about we do that? And with this defense, you have a pretty good shot at winning a game. Okay? By the way, do you want to mention this? Coming up on Friday, we have a Miller Lite Top Draft broadcast. If you're in the Arlington Heights area, Cortland's Garage, I'll be there from 7 to 10. We're giving away Bears tickets, okay? So if you want a chance at registering for Bears tickets, coming out to the Miller Lite Top Draft broadcast, 7 to 10, Cortland's Garage in Arlington Heights, and Lance Briggs will be there for an hour and a half. So it should be a lot of fun as we get you set for the weekend and for Bears Broncos. Open phone lines 312-644-6767. The Bears coddling Mitch Trubisky in year three, their franchise quarterback. They're supposed to make the big decision this year. Okay, at the end of the season, is he good enough? Is he worthy of that long-term deal like Wentz just got paid and the same with Jared Goff? That's a decision they want to make at the end of the season. Are they coddling him too much heading into game number two on the season? Coming up next, we'll also hear from Michael Lombardi. He was on with Mullion Hall this morning. I thought he brought up a fascinating point on why the second game of this Bears season could be more important than any other one on the rest of the schedule. Hear why. That's next. You've got the Joe O Show on Sports Radio 670, The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Got Joe Ostrowski with you. This segment on The Score brought to you by AAMCO, Total Transmission and Car Care. September is Back to School Safety Month. AAMCO's free multi-point inspection includes a free brake check, and they offer expert repairs to ensure your vehicle can stop safely. From transmission, engine repairs, brakes, maintenance, and everything in between, search AAMCO for the location near you. Thanks for hanging out on a Wednesday evening. Sports Radio 670, The Score. Oh, we get football back tomorrow. That's beautiful. But it's Carolina and Tampa Bay. That just feels like your typical Thursday night game. Don't want to fall into the overreaction crowd, but I thought Tampa was going to look a lot better than they did. The Bucs are going to have to move on with Jameis if that continues. He could have thrown 5-6 interceptions the other day. Like Trubisky. 312-644-6767 if you want to jump in. We'll get to what Michael Lombardi, that really stood out, what he said this morning on The Score in just a moment. Up in Stevens Point, Wisconsin, Dave, what's going on?
Hi, this is Dave, and I grew up on the south side of Chicago, but I'm up in central Wisconsin and still a Bears fan, so okay. It's pretty tough. But
especially this week, huh?
Well, pretty much every week. Actually, I'm glad I can get a hold of you guys in my car while I'm on my way to work, even south of Point, because it's hard to get you guys that far north. But so I'm sitting in my car now. Anyways, I got more patience, I guess, with Mitch than most of the fans. And I guess you never know what the fans are booing. I guess I would hope that they were booing more of the play calling than just Mitch's performance. But I'm with the earlier talk about the play calling in the second half. And, you know, if you're a leader of men or a manager, you know, with the game so hyped up as it was,
right.
I think you should take some pressure off of him and get Montgomery in there more and not put that pressure on him. Like, you know, every time you're coming in with a pass play, you know, well, that's just the writing on the wall telling him, hey, this is a pass play. This is on me.
Okay. Thank you for the phone call, Dave. This morning, Michael Lombardi, I know this is going to upset some Bears fans because every time Michael Lombardi speaks, he takes some shots at Trubisky. Well, my response would be play better. Shut him up. Because he can keep chirping. Because he called it a long time ago, and he hasn't let up for one split second. But this was about what the Bears do well. What do they do? And why the week two game Bears at Broncos is so important. It's not your general, you've got to avoid 0-2 because 90% of teams that start 0-2 end up missing the playoffs, which is certainly a huge factor for both teams. They're going to be in a desperate spot in only week two of the season. But take a listen. Here's 2.5 minutes of Michael Lombardi, some great stuff on the Moline Hall Show.
Dan Henning told me this years ago, and people probably listening to this don't even remember who the hell Dan Henning was, but Dan Henning was one of the real great offensive coordinators in pro football, and he was with the Redskins during their heyday. And he said to me one time, he said, you know, if you don't have any tendencies, you can't be any good. And he was so right, right? You got to know that what you're doing. And I think the Bears try to dupe people into thinking. I think Matt's in a really tough spot because he's got so much invested in the quarterback. And he's got so much invested in, you know, they take this quarterback over Deshaun Watson. They take this quarterback over Patrick Mahomes. I mean, they take this quarterback over everybody. And yet he's not, if you redraft that draft, it's not the same. So he's got so much in it. He's got to try to make it work. And he's searching for things. And what happens when you search for things, you end up not being great at anything. And you don't have an identity. And I think that's what he really needs. He really needs to be under center more in a play-action scheme. A little Jared Goff-ish. I mean, look, Jared Goff is not $125 million value quarterback. Sean McVay's put him in the right system at the right scheme that allows him to utilize his skill set.
It's fascinating to look at the first week of the season, and you see teams like the Falcons and the Steelers and the Bears, and I guess to an extent the Browns. Maybe there was more hype there than reality. But teams that people thought very highly of that kind of had duds on the opening week, I don't know that that carries over. I don't know that teams can't rally from that, but those would be the ones you'd start looking at, right?
Yeah, well, I think this. Look, you can't overreact to week one, but here's where it's concerning for Chicago is you know the problem. You scored 15 points against the Eagles. Mm. People have a way of defending you, and if you don't have an answer for it, it's a little bit like in basketball. If you drive with your right hand, you're going to have to figure out an offseason to get a left hand. Because once you start the year and you still drive to your right hand, you're not going to get those right-handed shots off anymore. Well, it's the same thing with offensive football. People have spent time studying you in the offseason, and they're forcing you to play a different way. And game one is the example. This game here, this tape here, when Chicago goes to Denver, this tape will be the most watched tape by anybody who plays the Bears for the next year and a half, for as long as Trubisky's the quarterback. Because they know that Vic knows Trubisky. They know that Vic knows Nagy. And what Vic tries to do to their protections, what Vic tries to do to Trubisky, is exactly what everybody else is going to do, because we're in a copycat league. And so that's why, even though it's just game one and people say don't overreact, it's game one.
That's so interesting. This is, of all the Bears' opponents, Washington next week, Minnesota, Oakland in London. After the bye, when they played New Orleans, the L.A. Chargers, Philadelphia Eagles, Detroit, L.A. Rams, this is going to be the most watched tape because everybody in the league knows, okay, Vic knows Mitch better than anyone else, aside from Matt Nagy and probably Dave Ragone. Knows him better than anyone else. And don't forget his defensive coordinator, Ed Donatell, who was coaching the Bears secondary. And if you talk to some Bears players, any corner, any safety, talk to them about Ed Donatell. And they'll tell you how great he is. Watching Mitch every day, last couple of years too. And they were talking about this today at the press conference, but it also goes the other way. Matt Nagy knows Vic Fangio's tendencies. And what he's going to do, he was talking about the Monday game and saying how, yep, that's the Vic Fangio defense already. They're doing Vic things. So that chess match is going to be so great to watch later on Sunday. I think it's a 3 o'clock or 3:25, 3:25 game. Bears at the Broncos. The first of back-to-back road games. Somebody was bringing up to me in the office today about, well, that'll be an interesting spot in a couple weeks against the Vikings. There's a chance the Bears go 1-3. I said, well, slow down. Washington's bad, but under the lights, that's a Monday night game. They have a pretty good defense. They hung with the Eagles for three quarters. I'm not putting that one in the bank. I'm not putting that one in W column yet. Let's see what happens here. Now, the Bears might be in the ultimate desperation spot facing 0-3 at Washington. It's possible. Before the year, you look at the schedule like, okay, that's an easy victory. Let's see what Washington looks like this week. I believe they've got a division game. It'll be fascinating to watch. Bottom of the hour brought to you by the Chicago Wolves, your Western Conference champion. Chicago Wolves open the season on Saturday, October 5th. For group and season tickets, visit ChicagoWolves.com. South Loop we go. Harsha, you're on 670, The Score with Joe Ostrowski. Hey, Harsha.
Hello. Yeah, I thought a point you made earlier was really interesting, especially with regard to Eddie Jackson. You mentioned, Akeem Hicks, Eddie Jackson, Kyle Long, those guys. Eddie Jackson's not been in the league that long.
No.
And he's out here, in his mind, on the radio and even on TV when he goes on TV. It's just kind of saddening, not to see that from one of the offensive skill players as well. Allen Robinson, maybe the only player on offense who played really well on Thursday night. That guy's not really loud. He's not going to go out there and, make a bunch of statements. Tarik Cohen's not quite there yet either.
Allen Robinson did have a weekly appearance last year on The Score.
I've heard him talk a couple of times, but he's not the Eddie Jackson type, like, right. Man, you know, shut the F up kind of, like, guy.
Sure.
It's just the defense is studded with alpha dogs, and you just don't see that. And I haven't seen that, you know, in, I don't know, my 20-something years as a Bears fan, too many of those guys who are just going to come out and say something like that. And based off of Trubisky's, his stressor this morning, that didn't leave me with a lot of hope. You know, he did mention a couple things about the Fangio defense that was really refreshingly out of character for him, but mm-hmm. other than that, I didn't really get anything, as you mentioned, a snooze fest like it always is.
Harsha, just as a fan, watching on Sundays and seeing Mitch at the podium a couple times a week, do you think he lacks leadership?
I can't say it just from looking at him, right, because I don't know what he says in the locker room or, you know, the extent to which the public faces what he puts on the inside. But I do see shades of Jay Cutler there, at least as it looks on the outside.
You can't do that on Broncos week.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to say, right? Given we paid the farm for Jay way back in the day. But then again, we gave up quite a bit to get Mitch as well. Mm-hmm. We could have just sat at number three and picked him up anyway. So.
All right, Harsha, appreciate the phone call, and thank you for listening. 312-644-6767 if you want to jump in. If you miss it, you're just heading home from work today. What we're talking about is Mitch's press conference today. Usually, he's just kind of looking for the end. How much longer do I have to be here? How many more questions do I have to take? Nothing against Patrick Finley. Nothing against Mark Grody, but is it over yet? That's a feeling you get when you watch it every single week.
I'm not going to, so quit asking.
And then he just kind of threw it out there today. It's like, yeah, they don't want me talking about the Packers. Okay. Kind of a big story. Bears 0-1, favorites at home. Last time we saw you at Soldier Field, you didn't put up much points. You're losing to the Eagles. Then we see you again, not putting up much points, losing to the Packers in week one. Why can't we talk to you about this game? It could just be what's going on amongst the team. You're saying, moving on, we're not addressing it anymore. You get that all the time. So maybe it's not a big deal. But what Harsha was referencing is Eddie Jackson was on the station saying, yeah, the booing impacts his confidence. So, I mean, year three, you have no excuses. You have the great defense. I think it's fair to wonder. What about Trubisky's psyche? That comes into play. Sure, talent does too. But leadership and having the trust of everybody on that roster does. And I'll say it a million times, you've got to give him this third season. 312-644-6767, 20 minutes from right now. I'll check in with Benjamin Albright. Does a great job covering the Broncos for KOA in Denver. I've got to get to Vic Fangio too. He gave us a laugh-out-loud moment today, meeting with the Broncos media, talking about Khalil Mack. We'll get to that coming up. Joe Osho, Sports Radio 670, The Score. This segment on The Score brought to you by HR Boost. Joe Ostrowski with you, Sports Radio 670, The Score. And we're going to have NFL football on The Score tomorrow night. Bucks at the Panthers, the second Thursday game of the year. Get you back in the flow. It's been weird the last couple of nights without any sort of football. And maybe later in the year we'll get to some action. It'll be a lot of fun. A lot of fun. Talking about Mitch Trubisky and what he actually had to say, throwing some Bears PR people under the bus today over at Hallis Hall. 312-644-6767. I caught about a minute and 20 seconds of Vic Fangio's press conference today. That's all I needed. That's all you're going to need. We'll get to that in a few minutes. I promise you will laugh at this one. West Side Donald, you're on 670 The Score.
Hey, how you doing, Joe?
Hey, what's going on, Donald?
Not much. Hey, I totally agree with that, with the Colin thing. And in line with that assumption, I believe that, you know, it's probably counterproductive. You know, I don't want to state it as fact because I don't know. But, yeah, and this was my theory. It's like, if you're not allowing this guy to face the music and at least listen to the people who count, like maybe the Tony Dungys of the world or, you know, just analysts who's unbiased, who's actually trying to help, you know, and so that he can know that what he needs to work on. Like that pass to Allen Robinson, that was a great pass. You know, the fake bubble screen, then the fade down the field. good pass, but not good enough because you didn't keep the receiver in the field of play. You know, you allow him to be sandwiched against the sideline and all of the things. You made it easy for the DB to push him out of bounds. So you got the ball there. It was okay accuracy, but it wasn't good enough. So you need to know that. You know, Mitch, I think the world of him, though. You know, I'm patient with him, but at the end of the day, I think that all that coddling is making him soft. You know, he needs to learn how to face the music and fix the problem. Like, because if he can't face the music and then fix his mistake, then what do we have at our quarterback? You know, you can't cover up this thing forever, you know? At some point, he's going to have to do it himself. He's going to have to be a quarterback.
Yeah, and it was supposed to be this year. So that's what we're going to look into things a little bit. Evaluate every little thing. They want to make that decision about the big contract with Trubisky. They don't want to go the Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota route. Playing in the fifth year, all right, we'll make our decision for sure on our quarterback after the season because we really don't know. Tennessee's been saying we'd love to have Mariota, but the guy can't stay on the field. Then Jameis is throwing three picks on Sunday. He should have thrown five. There were two more that were dropped. I doubt Bruce Arians is going to keep him past this season. That's what you don't want. You don't want that quarterback position up in the air. They want to know what he is by the end of this year, and the excuses should be done. They should be done. So I woke up to some horrifying news on Mitch Trubisky before he spoke to the Bears media at the podium today at Halas Hall. Before. Because Herb Lawrence was retweeting something. He was sharing with all of his followers some just not even shocking, really. But it just kind of puts things into perspective. What did you see, Herb, on Trubisky?
Well, this is via Patrick Claibon, who works for the NFL Network. He retweeted a NFL research stat on Mitch Trubisky, saying that Trubisky has really struggled when trailing by a single possession in the final minutes of the game. Mm-hmm. All right, so when tied or trailing by one possession in the last 3 minutes of the game, career for Mitch Trubisky, completion percentage is 47.7.
Oh, my.
Passing yards is...
What is the sample?
This is nine games.
Nine games. And so this is going back to 17, too?
Yes, his whole career. Yeah. Okay. So 47.7 completion percentage. Passing yards are 203 yards. Touchdown, zero. Interceptions are 3. Passer rating, 32.7.
No touchdowns.
No touchdowns. He is 1-8 in such games. The team is 1-8 in such games.
Well,
let me correct that.
So, but he's down by more than one score in the last few minutes of the game. Of course you're going to have a horrible record, right? That's what we're talking about?
No, this is when he's tied or trailing by one possession.
Oh, tied or trailing
tied
by
or
one.
Tied or trailing by one possession in the
one
final 3
eight.
Minutes.
1-8.
And then they...
That's how you find out if you have a franchise quarterback.
They
first the ball, you got a minute and a half left, go win us the game.
They furthered the NFL research.
Okay.
Mitch Trubisky, career as a starter. 14 games with less than 200 yards passing. That's the most in the NFL since he started playing in 2017. 9 games with 0 passing touchdowns, third most since 2017, 9 games with a sub-70 passer rating, tied for fourth most in the NFL since he started playing.
Right.
Trubisky and Flacco have both been inefficient since 2017, the matchup this weekend in Denver. Trubisky has a 63% completion percentage, 200 yards passing per game, 27 touchdowns, 86.3 passer rating. Flacco has just about the same.
So for everybody driving around thinking, oh, that's the John Fox, Dowell Loggins year, it's not. And Herb, what was I talking to you about yesterday? Just his home road splits. Now, if you look at the passer rating, it isn't horrible. I think for his career on the road, it's above 90, but he doesn't throw touchdowns. You can double check. I think last year in 6 starts on the road, it was only 5 touchdowns compared to 19 at home. So you want to see it. I don't care what you saw on Monday night. You don't want to go crazy and say, okay, now the Broncos have a horrible defense. Vic Fangio lost his mind. He's bad. You know that's not the case. You saw what he did here.
Yeah.
So you don't want to overreact. But with a larger sample size, we haven't seen Mitch perform on the road consistently.
19 touchdowns, 9 interceptions at home. 5 touchdowns, 3 interceptions on the road.
You said 19 touchdowns,
19,
right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. 5. But the rating isn't horrible.
No, the rating on the road is 92.8. The home rating is 97.2.
But they're not putting enough points on the board. I mean, that's the name of the game.
Well, if you go by let's see, yards.
You know what? Do this for me.
Yeah.
Look up Trubisky career home road splits. See if they're comparable to Jared Goff at all. So he got his big contract after they made the Super Bowl run. But was that Jared Goff? Was that more Sean McVay? See, a lot of people look at that Trubisky-Tampa Bay game and say, well, was that really Mitch Trubisky, or is that Matt Nagy's scheming against one of the worst pass defenses in the NFL? Just bottom of the barrel.
Rich, what specifically do you want on that home run splits?
Just are they similar to Jared Goff in any way? Because he's a guy that he's excelled at home and then on the road. It's had a tough go. They won on Sunday at Carolina, but if you're watching that game, you can't say that Jared Goff looked good. He did not. Todd Gurley didn't either. I don't know what he's going to be moving forward. Don't know if we're ever going to see the old Todd Gurley again. Rich in Oak Forest, you're on the score.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Rich.
I was just wondering, you know, the last guy you talked to about Connolly and Trubisky, I think he made a good point. I mean, when do they take the kid gloves off and just tell him, let's see what you got, instead of, you notice Nagy's always putting his arm around him, and, you know, I don't know, when is he going to take the kid gloves off?
That's why we're asking the question. They said the time is now. We're going to find out if it is. We'll find out. Yeah, you got something, Herb?
Yeah, Goff has played 40 games, home and road, split right down the middle, 20-20, and he's pretty much the same player touchdown and interception-wise, home or road.
Is his rating and everything the same?
About the same, 97.2 to 90. His touchdowns are 33 at home, touchdowns are 33 on the road,
wow.
Interceptions are 12 at home, 15 on the road.
Probably we have that perception because he was so horrible at Soldier Field. And he clearly did not want to be there on that Sunday night game.
Yeah. With Mitch, it is a little bit different. He's worse on the road. Let's see. His QB rating, if you go by that, 91.4. On the road, it's 80.2. 23 touchdowns to 11 interceptions at home, 8-9. 8 touchdowns to 9 interceptions on the road his career.
You do expect younger quarterbacks to struggle early on the road, so that is certainly fair. But you want to see that change right now. This season, and it starts on Sunday at Denver. I promised Vic Fangio, so Mike Chen, cue that up for us. Here's Vic Fangio talking to the Denver media today, and he was asked about his reaction after finding out that his defense is adding Khalil Mack.
You know, it was very little talked about, that I probably didn't find out until, you know, just a couple seconds after the world found out. And obviously was very, very excited. I didn't know a lot about him other than I knew he was a good player because when he came out of college, we were drafting very late in the first round in San Francisco at the time. So they said, don't even bother watching him. So I didn't watch him as a collegiate. And with him in Oakland and me in the NFC, I really didn't see him play a lot. And then when we got him, and it was just after a few days, it was like, you know, holy.
Vic is awesome. Oh, miss Vic a little bit. Better than that Trubisky press conference earlier today. Holy bleep. He didn't even know. The man coaches in the league. He's in the other conference. We don't have to deal with him much. Oh, this is what we got? Okay. Thank you very much. And you know what? Really, Khalil Mack got Vic Fangio head coaching job. He did. What's that Bears defense without Mack a year ago? We're going to go to Denver, Colorado, check in with Benjamin Albright, KOA out in Denver. Does a great job covering the Broncos and talk a little bit about Vic Fangio and how the expectations have suddenly changed. I see people writing on Tuesday out in Denver, tank for Tua. They're ready to give up on the season after one game. We'll talk to Benjamin about all that next. You've got the Joe O Show on Sports Radio 670, The Score.